Smile again with radio's home folks, Bacon Sade, written by Paul Reimer.
It's early evening as our scene opens now, and here in the living room of the small house halfway up in the next block, we find our friends abiding quietly at home. Mr. Victor Gook and Mr. Rush Gook are established on opposite sides of the library table, competing briskly at rummy, while Sade, in her husband's easy chair, concerns herself with a daily love story in the newspaper. At this particular moment, one of the card players is remarking...
Here, here, my man. There's a rule about looking at the discards.
You do it.
When?
Lots of times.
Cited instance.
Huh?
You've made a serious accusation. Unless you substantiate that accusation.
Oh, come on, Clay.
It's your turn.
Oh, is it?
See?
Your poor fuddled brain can't
Dave.
Even grasp it.
Hello there, Dave. How are you? By George, you looking fine?
Know what I wish you'd do?
Go over there and give you a hug?
I wish you'd write to Walter.
Oh.
How long's it been since you dropped him a line?
I don't know.
Been years and years, ain't it?
Guess so.
Ain't you kind of ashamed?
Uh-uh.
Ought to be.
How long has it been since Walter dropped me a line?
That's different.
Why?
Walter's not a letter-writing fella.
I am, huh?
Sure. Sit down there in your office and rip off letters to people all day long.
What the heck would I say?
Oh, just some chatty little talky-talk,
look,
maybe. About...
Excuse me, ma'am.
You in?
3 sixes, 3 fours, and a 10 jack, queen, and king of spades.
You must have resorted to low cunning to accumulate that many spreads so quick.
Sure. Your deal is trip.
Why don't you do it right now, Vic?
Write a letter to Walter? Oh.
Sure. You're just sitting there idle.
I'm playing with me.
You just finished your game. Go ahead. Rush, hand your father your pencil tablet.
Okay.
I'll dash him off a note tomorrow.
Like fun. You'd never even think of it.
Well, I got nothing to say to Walter.
He's your brother-in-law.
I ought to exchange sweet confidence with him on that account, huh?
Well, what I'd like to have you do is scribble your note off on that cheap tablet paper, and then in the morning take it down to the office and have the girl typewrite it nice.
What's the idea?
It'd please Bess.
I thought it was Walter I'm supposed to write to.
Well, Walter and Bess. See, they're good and proud of their monstrous big important brother-in-law with his marvelous position. I bet they'd show your letter to everybody in Carberry if it was written on a machine by a regular stenographer with her initials at the bottom and all.
Mm.
Will you do it?
I suppose.
It hit me this afternoon you ought to drop a line to Walter. Bess and I hear from each other almost every week, and it don't look right for you two men to let whole years go past without him. What's the matter?
Nothing.
Why are you laughing?
Get away from here, Rush. How can a man write a letter to his brother-in-law with a hyena like you breathing down his neck?
What's he writing there? Read me what he's got wrote down there.
Go away from here, dishwater.
Rush, do you hear what I said?
Dear Walter, how's your kneecap? Does it hurt much? My kneecap jumped out of place last Tuesday at 4 o'clock while I was swimming in the creek. Sadie has been put in jail. Rush was married early this morning. What time is it? You make me sick. If I had ears like...
You made every word in that up, say.
I did not.
You did too.
That don't strike me so comical, Vic.
Well, I don't know what to say to the guy, kiddo.
Poor Walter's a guy now, huh?
We got nothing in common.
Just married sisters is all. Got that much in common.
It won't be news to Walter if I write and tell him we married sisters. Dear Walter, you and I married sisters. I married Sister Sadie, and you married Sister Bessie. It's great stuff, eh, Walter, being married to sisters?
You don't seem to have much trouble thinking up silliness. Put half of that energy into fixing up a decent letter, and you'd get through in 5 minutes.
Okay, I'll make a stab at this.
Instead of standing there grinning like a chessy cat, Rush, you might write a little note.
Uncle Walter?
Sure. You were included in the invitation.
I just as soon drop my line.
Uh-huh.
I'll say, dear Uncle Walter, how's your kneecap? Day before yesterday, I saw a horse fall down. He got up almost immediately, feeling none the wiser. Our garbage man don't wear socks. He claims
you're a funny man, too, aren't you?
Well, there.
Who was it give you a lovely silver dollar on your birthday?
I wasn't allowed to spend it. Had to deposit it in the doggone bank.
Say, I can't get anywhere with this.
Can't you?
No.
All day long, you sit down in your office and dash off enormous big letters to fellas in the kitchenware company. Peculiar, you can't write a few measly little words to your own brother-in-law.
All I got is, dear Walter, where you old horse thief, you? How's tricks?
I wouldn't even say that as a joke.
What, horse thief?
Yes. Walter might not understand.
All right, we'll delete that. Now all I got is, dear Walter. Not much of a letter.
Put down little chatty talky-talk.
Such as what?
Oh, business is fine. I suppose you read in the newspaper about this, that, and the other thing. Looks like big doings in Washington, D.C., with the Congress making different laws. You know.
Mm-hmm.
Tell about our neighbors that have been living next door 7 years, all of a sudden pulling up stakes and moving.
You want to hear what I got?
All right.
Dear Uncle Walter, thought I would write and see how you are feeling. We are fine, and Gov's sore throat has let up considerable on the twinges. I expect you people are enjoying the warm weather. A good many of my personal friends have changed into their summer underwear. I am still wearing my winter underwear, but will probably discontinue the process in the course of the next few weeks. There is only a couple more months of school, and then we have vacation.
Very nice.
I think so. Comes right to the point. No beating around the bush.
Say something about how eager your mother's looking forward to her visit in Carberry.
Okay.
See how this suits you.
Mm-hmm.
Dear Walter, business is fine. I suppose you read in the newspaper about this, that, and the other thing. Looks like big doings in Washington, D.C., with the Congress making different laws. Yours truly, Vic.
I'd be ashamed.
I put down what you told me to put down.
I'd be ashamed.
Thunder, Sade, I done the best
put
that I...
Put your tablet and fountain pen off to one side. Go ahead with your rummy.
Shucks, a man.
I guess Walter won't wither away and die just because his wonderful brother-in-law won't take 5 minutes of his valuable time.
Tell me what to say, kiddo, and I'll say it.
Go ahead with your rummies.
No, by George, I'll do this if it kills me. Tell me what to say.
What do you say to your friend Y.Y. Flirch when you write him letters?
I say, straighter salute. Quiet and dumb club agricola.
No, but what do you say?
I don't know. Generally stuff about the lodge.
Tell Walter about the lodge.
He don't belong to it.
Well, that don't hurt. Tell him you had a meeting.
Mm.
You'd sit down and dash off 40 pages to Y.Y. Flirch. When it comes to your own brother-in-law, you can't think of a word.
Mm. Listen, Mom.
Mm-hmm.
Dear Uncle Walter, thought I would write and see how you are feeling. We are fine, and Gov's sore throat has let up considerable on the twinges. I expect you people...
You already read me that part.
Mom is looking forward with breathless pleasure to visiting you and Aunt Beth. She anticipates much delight in seeing your faces once again. How you like that?
It's all right.
I think it's dandy.
A little on the axle grease and peach butter side.
What do you think of that junk about breathless pleasure?
It's all right.
Okay.
Got something down?
Yep. Listen. Dear Walter, how are you, old top?
I wouldn't call him names, Vic.
Oh, Top ain't a very cruel epithet.
Well, Walter's touchy. Liable to think you're jollying him.
Well, just dear Walter, then. Dear Walter, 100 alumni of the University of Clinton met in the Butler House Hotel yesterday to celebrate the 50th anniversary of the university's founding. Alumni clubs in 15 other cities held similar gatherings. The alumni heard an address by Dr. U. Flossmore Screech depicting historical events in the university's development and a trombone solo by Miss Edith Clem entitled All My Hugs and Kisses, Alma Mater, Belong to Thee. Yours truly, Vic. Of course, it's not any too chatty. It's informative, though.
You copied that out of tonight's newspaper.
What? You say I copied it out of...
Tonight's newspaper, yes. I read it myself.
Kiddo, before you get hot under the collar, let me... Where are you going?
Upstairs.
Not to bed.
I may go to bed. Who cares?
It's only 10 minutes past 8.
That's so?
Wait now, Sade. Tell you what I'll do. I'll ride Wally the longest
time. Lock the doors and fix the lights before you come up.
Oh. I've gone to work and made your mother mad.
Mm.
Now I've got to write a letter to ease my conscience.
Mm.
Again Monday, join in the fun with Vic and Sade. Same time, same station. This is Ed Hurley.
And Margaret MacDonald.
Saying good day for Ivory Flakes.